It's Free Minds, Free People. This is a production of the Commonwealth Foundation for Public Policy Alternatives. The Box. Inside. Outside. On.
Welcome to The Box. I'm Matt Briette, president of the Commonwealth Foundation and your host today. I'm joined today by Jonathan Williams. He is with the American Legislative Exchange Council, as well as an author of, fantastic wouldn't be the appropriate word because Pennsylvania fares so poorly, but it is a great analysis of all 50 states, and it's called Rich States, Poor States, Alec Laffer State Economic Competitiveness Index. And Jonathan was in Harrisburg for a presentation with dozens of people and legislators to talk about how Pennsylvania is faring and what we might do to improve our economic competitiveness, and looking at states, well, those that are doing things well. Jonathan, welcome to The Box.
Well, thank you, Matt, and thank you for all the good work that you do and the folks at Commonwealth. It's really appreciated.
Well, we appreciate your work. It's just kind of more voices in the choir singing a lot of the same things about what Pennsylvania needs to do to become more competitive. I guess misery loves company. And in the Northeast, we have lots of miserable states when it comes to our economic competitiveness. And in fact, you have labeled, maybe you and your collective team, of course, which was Art Laffer and Steve Moore, very well-known folks, and developed this lens through which you're looking at the state's competitiveness. And you labeled the Northeast as America's economic black hole. What do you mean by that?
Well, I'll tell you what. The bottom line here in rich states, poor states is you can't tax your way to prosperity. And too many states in the Northeast have tried to do that for far too long. And, the results are pretty clear that the states that can avoid tax and spend policies are the states that are thriving today, while the states that are following the path of California and New York and all the other bad examples, and my home state of Michigan being one of the primary of that category, those states are lagging far behind. You look at Texas, for instance. In the book, we do a case study on California versus Texas. And Texas has created more jobs in the last 2 years than the other 49 states combined.
Wow.
It's unbelievable the kind of job growth, the economic engine that's created through free market policies, no state income tax in Texas. And then contrast that to what's happening in the Northeast, as you mentioned, what's happening in California. These are states that have never met a tax hike that they don't like in many cases. If it moves, tax it. If it keeps moving, regulate it. Those are Ronald Reagan's words,
right,
but that's
right.
The motto of many of these states. And, you know, the solution in many
cases. And
then
if it stops moving, of course, we subsidize
it. That's right. We subsidize it.
Which is what we're doing in Pennsylvania. I mean, we are the largest economic development spending state next to Ohio in the country. And yet it is this, you know, you talk about tax and spend ourselves to prosperity. We are also trying to borrow ourselves. I mean, we have gone into massive bonded debt.
Well, that doesn't work either.
No, it doesn't. And in fact, they get to spend it all today, but then my kids and my kids' kids are the ones that are going to eventually have to pay this back. So this whole scheme of tax, borrow, and spend, it hasn't worked yet. We continue to see the Northeast and classifying Pennsylvania as part of that, as in this futile effort that has failed. I think, you know, one of the things that in quoting you from the book says the shared experience of these states is oppressive tax rates, mindless and meddlesome regulation, obese social welfare programs. That's where in Pennsylvania our welfare has exceeded education spending in the past couple of years. Slumping real estate markets and a steady stampede of outward migration. I know that we were the fourth largest out-migration state by one measure. And in fact, we'd have lost population if it were not for international immigration into Pennsylvania. People are not moving here. And I think in many ways it's part of what you've identified as 15 factors that are contributing to our economic competitiveness. Maybe you can talk a bit about those things that you looked at and where Pennsylvania is just struggling to keep up with our neighbors and even our competitors across the country.
No, I mean, you make the point very well. And, you know, the fact remains that people vote with their feet. And if you create a hostile system where taxes are too high, the cost of living is too high, and you drive out productive citizens and businesses, there are no jobs. And so then people have to move away. And, you know, that's a real consequence of poor tax and regulatory policy. And we've seen people by the droves leave the Northeast over the last few decades now. And we, you know, document that fairly well in the book. Pennsylvania being up there, New York being up there. Just the last decade, New York's lost about nearly 2 million of its residents to other states because New York has some of the highest taxes in the country today. And in fact, there were some high-profile losses from New York. Rush Limbaugh finally moved out of New York, mm-hmm. went to Florida earlier this year. And Tom Golisano, the Buffalo Sabres owner and the founder of the Paychex Company, also left the state
of
New York.
He had a great op-ed that just basically said, hey, I'm going to save, I don't know what it was, like $15,000 a day.
That's right. And that's $15,000 a day that the state of New York loses in tax revenue because it raised rates so high that mm-hmm. it taxed those folks out of existence. But you take a look back over a few decades, and Pennsylvania, New York, and many of these other states have lost, you know, maybe a third, in some cases more, of their congressional representation because of population losses. And unless that tide is stemmed, then, you know, that this whole region is going to lose tremendous influence if we look at just the U.S. Congress. But Pennsylvania, you know, taking a look at the specific rankings, you know, the economic performance over the last decade, 46 out of the 50 states, you know, not many states coming behind it, Michigan, Ohio, and another. And then you take a look at economic outlook ranking that we put together in this book, which is our view of the forecast, where we think Pennsylvania is headed. And unfortunately, that view is not brighter, at least very much, as Pennsylvania ranks 42nd out of the 50 states in economic outlook.
And that's gone down, correct? I mean,
right.
From previous years. So it's getting worse.
That's right. 36 was last year.
Okay.
So you've lost quite a bit of ground. And of course, the tax increases that happened this fall are not going to help. The stop of the phase out of the corporate tax and the cigarette tax and mm-hmm. these other tax increases that have just piled
on. Hey, but
on.
Governor Rendell has more in store for us with the budget address. You can guarantee that because every year his budget has called for higher and higher taxes. What is it that these politicians don't understand? I mean, I think, you know, the only reason Pennsylvania is surviving is because we have New York to our north, New Jersey to our east. Those tend to be worse states,
and Maryland to the south.
Right, right. If it were not for them, of course, people from there would have no escape.
I think the thinking is that many people think the politicians think they can get away with tax increases. It's not going to cost the state competitively. But Rich States, Poor States gives you over 100 pages of information on why that's not the case. And it's not that the politicians are ignorant. It's in the words of Ronald Reagan, it's just they know so much that isn't so.
Right.
And and so, unfortunately, the folks that want to keep going and raising taxes, and every time there's a budget crisis, they say that it's a problem of not enough tax revenue rather than on the spending side. And if you take a look over the last decade, if we would have just controlled the rate of spending to the rate of growth of the private economy, you wouldn't have a state that be in a budget problem, with maybe California being the only exception there. And Pennsylvania, look, going forward, is in certainly tough shape. I mean, one of the good things that Pennsylvania has going for it is a flat low-rate income tax, just mm-hmm. over 3%, as you know. It's one of the attractive factors that Pennsylvania still has. But save for that factor, there aren't that many other factors
right.
out there in your favor right now.
Well, you know, of course, politicians always try to take solace in the fact that other states are doing worse than we are. In fact, we heard a lot of that in this last budget debate as well. We're not California, but they should not take solace, because you do have the Texases out there, or Texas, and a few other states that are doing things right. They have created a business climate that is attractive, and companies are looking to go there. I think, as you noted, they've seen job growth that exceeded all the other states combined over the last 2 years. That's impressive. What are they doing right? What should Pennsylvania and other states learn about, well, how to create a business climate and create the job growth and all of those things that make an economic powerhouse?
Well, you know, to your point, you know, in Michigan, we always, I'm a former resident of Michigan, I think, as I mentioned. As many are. Tax refugees we are. And at one point we said, well, things aren't that bad. They could be worse. They could be like other states. And then all of a sudden we found out Michigan.
You are the other state.
We are the other state. We're number 50, and we have been for quite some time, unfortunately. And that's because, you know, under the Granholm administration in Michigan, there was never a tax increase they didn't like. And so, you know, states would go that way at their own peril. But as you said, there are some very good examples out there in states that get it right, like Texas. And they were able to do that, avoid a personal income tax. That is a tremendous opportunity to enhance your competitiveness. And, you know, taking a look at states as brands is a very important thing. And Pennsylvania's brand is broken right now, and Michigan's brand is broken, and so is California and New York. But Texas's brand is thriving. They were able to institute tort reform, and they've had tens of thousands of doctors, you know, over about 20,000 doctors, Rick Perry has mentioned, have moved to Texas and started practice ever since their tort reform efforts on medical liability. And then they, of course, are a right-to-work state. They have a very friendly labor climate. Their workers' comp costs are more under control. And you take a look at Pennsylvania being a, you know, a forced union state with high workers' comp costs, you know, above average minimum wage. You take a look at that labor cost, the tax cost, the regulatory costs on tort reform, and you just have a recipe for economic disaster in the Northeast. Well, but then you look at Texas, and you wonder why companies are moving there.
And didn't they even cut small business taxes in Texas? Well, we're raising taxes in Pennsylvania on our job creators. They did precisely the opposite in Texas.
That's right. And they slashed, historically slashed property tax rates as well. They were able to do that. They accumulated a budget surplus. They were able to keep spending out of control. And, you know, it's always a challenge. If the money's there, you know, legislators love to spend it. And Texas withheld from that. They were able to build that surplus and reduce taxes.
Well, Jonathan Williams of the American Legislative Exchange Council and co-author of Rich States, Poor States. You can find out more at alec.org. Jonathan, thanks for joining me here today on the
Box.
It's
a pleasure, Matt. Thanks for all you do.